Welcome to New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, where we envision to build a biblical community of loving believers, which have a personal relationship with God and each other, modeling the pattern of lifestyle of Jesus Christ. Join us now as we prepare our hearts and minds to hear and receive the Word of God from the man of God, Senior Pastor Reverend Nathaniel Wood.
The Apostle Paul wrote the book or the letter of 1 Corinthians to the church that he had established at Corinth. Corinth was a port city located on the east coast of Greece that was approximately 48 miles southwest of Athens, Greece. The economy of the city of Corinth was fueled by commerce from the sea as well as tourism. On any given day, the city would be filled with many people from many nations, with the majority of the people paying a visit to the temple of Aphrodite, who was the goddess of sex. The way to worship Aphrodite was by engaging in illicit sexual acts with one of the 1,000 temple prostitutes that were provided at her temple. I don't want to go to that church. Corinth was Sin City. And in the midst of it all, there was a church planted in the midst of debauchery. Planted by Paul at the end of his second missionary journey, the Corinthian church, the bride of Christ, was birthed and established in the midst of sin, debauchery, and fornication and immorality. So, deacons, who populates a church founded in the middle of Sin City? Who joins and becomes members of that church? I'll tell you who. Converts. Sinners who hear the message of Christ and then are converted. The same ones who once worshiped at the temple of Aphrodite. People who were once a part of the sinful culture. People who have a past history of uncleanness and unrighteousness. Those are the folk who joined the church. Paul writes in verses 9 and 10 of chapter 6. Paul writes, he says, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Why is it so quiet in here? Paul just described the culture of Corinth. Sadly, my brothers and sisters, Paul's description of Corinth mirrors our own world that we live in today. Sexual sin is widely accepted. Homosexuality, lesbianism, same-sex marriages are tolerated, condoned, and even recognized as legitimate legal relationships. And I want you to know, adultery is far more common than many of us would like to admit. Having multiple sex partners is winked upon and celebrated by many in our society, while Christian celibacy is ridiculed and laughed at. Look at the number of modern day church and political leaders who have been caught with some skeletons with flesh still on the bones. Come on, somebody. They in the closet, but they still got flesh on them. All that the Apostle Paul is describing is the culture of Corinth. And he says that people participating in that culture and continuously practicing Corinthian behavior will not share in the kingdom of God. But my focus today is not on the sins that the Apostle Paul identifies in verses 9 and 10. My brothers and sisters, today it's not my assignment to beat up on people who have not yet chosen to live a holy and consecrated life for God. It has been made clear from God through the Apostle Paul that those who reject the righteousness of God will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I suggest to you that information is enough to convict and convince lost humanity to get right with God. My focus today is on the hope that is found in our scripture verse 11. Remember what it says. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The Apostle Paul declares that those to whom he was writing to were once participants in ungodly and immoral living. He tells them, in essence, that if they would check their own records, that they would discover that they did not always have it together. He reminds some of them that they too had a past. And if their past was made public, if it was put on film, it would be rated triple X. And maybe even banned in some countries. Some would be candidates for prison time. Come on, somebody. And others would be in line for a beatdown from some individuals that they have secretly or publicly wronged in the past. But know this, New Providence and friends, know this closely with me what Paul said. Paul said, and that is what some of you were. Paul recognizes that a change has occurred in many of the lives of the believers in the Corinthian church. He noticed a change. And my brothers and sisters, I stopped by New Providence to ask, are there any recognizable signs in your life that you are not the same person that you once were? Is there enough evidence in your life right now that convinces others that you've been born again? That you are truly a child of God? In other words, when people see you, do they see Christ in you? Has your testimony changed from what you were to what you are now? You know, it's sad to say, Dr. Heggie, it's sad to say that too many Christians are still engaging in sinful behaviors, sinful lifestyles, and sinful practices that are calling unbelievers to question the power of God to clean a person up. Paul clearly states that the believer in Christ's life must be totally different from those who are not born again believers. Why, New Providence and friends, why should the word were, W-E-R-E, be a significant part of our current testimony about who we now are in Christ? Let me suggest to you today that the word is significant because of these three very powerful words in verse 11. The Apostle Paul says that the Corinthian believers were washed, were sanctified, and were justified. And I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. Because we too, like the Corinthian believers, because we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, we too were washed, sanctified, and justified. That's good news. That's good news. That's good news. Can we just pick those words apart real quick? Paul says that as believers in Christ, now we were washed. That word washed is from the Greek word apolluo, which means to wash away. My brothers and sisters, the laundry business is big business today. If you take a casual stroll down the laundry aisle in your local grocery store, you would discover many brands of detergent stacked on shelves for the purpose of getting your dirty laundry clean. You see, the manufacturers know that every human being gets dirt on them. They'll even tell your neighbor, you dirty. You and I can't live and move around in this thing called life without some exposure to dirt. That's in the natural. But spiritually speaking, all men are exposed to the dirt of sin. The Bible says like this: for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So in order for us to inherit the kingdom of God, guess what? We've got to be washed. And let me tell you, soap and water cannot clean the stain of sin. It doesn't matter how hard you scrub. It doesn't matter what words you say while you're scrubbing. It doesn't matter the people you impress or the position that they put you in. The stain of sin remains, and it weighs on our conscience, and it weighs us down with the burdens that is too heavy for us to bear. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, he said, come unto me, all you that are weary and by carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. The heavy burden is called sin, and the rest Jesus is talking about is a clean conscience. That is why the hymnologist wrote, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank God that we were washed by the blood of the Lamb. And because we were washed, we are not the same person that we were. Not only were we washed, Paul says that you were sanctified. That word sanctified in the Greek means hagiazo, which means to make holy, to consecrate, to sanctify, to set apart as sacred, to make productive of, or conducive to spiritual blessing. Let me, New Providence and friends, let me try to explain sanctification in layman's terms. Let me explain it by comparing sanctification to a light. Somebody say light. That's what we get ready to teach in Vacation Bible School. The light. Before you and I were washed and cleansed of our sins, our lives were filled with darkness. Then at the moment of salvation, you and I were given a light. That light, sanctification, which sets us apart from the darkness that we were in. The light revealed that you and I were new people. And once we were darkness, but now we shine because we have been sanctified. I want to know, can I see your light? Ask your neighbor, pass the presence of you. Can you see my light? Check this out. When we were born again, we were given a light. Not a light, the light. Every believer has the light. But the wattage on the inside of us is different. You see, we directly determine through our personal consecration to God the amount of light or sanctification that is revealed in and through our lives. It's just like going to a store shopping for light bulbs. There are so many different wattages that one can choose to buy. The wattage is determined by how much light one wants and one desires. Now I know that today there are some lamps that are made by what's called Underwriter's Laboratory. And Underwriter's Laboratory limits the amount of bulb wattage to be used in the lamp. In other words, you don't take a lamp that uses a 25 watt bulb and put a 100 in there. But in the kingdom of God, there are no restrictions to the amount of light that should be reflected in your life and my life as a believer in Christ. Some of us good old saints need to stop singing about this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Instead of saying this little light, you ought to try to increase the spiritual wattage in your life. Can y'all handle about 5 more minutes? Paul tells the believers at Corinth that you are not what you were. You have been set apart. You are the light of the world. But you also are responsible for maintaining and growing the light that is in you. You are the one who should be increasing your wattage so that your light may shine brighter and brighter. How do I do that? Invest time in prayer. Constantly spend time in the Word of God. Commit to regular worship. Be faithful in your giving and being available and obedient to God in all things. Okay. Tell your neighbor, I'm sanctified. Working on my light, though. Working on my light. Working on my wattage. Trying to get a little bit more light. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. And finally, I kept you too long already. The final point that Paul tells them, these Corinthian believers, that you were also justified. You were justified. In other words, you were declared righteous. You might not have it all together, but you still have been declared, good God, righteous. When I look at myself in the mirror, I don't see righteous Nathaniel Wood. I see messed up Nathaniel, scarred up Nathaniel, mistake filled Nathaniel. But when I look through the eyes of Christ, hallelujah, look through God's eyes at myself, I see that he sees me as righteous. In other words, when Christ sees you and me, he looks at us and he basically says, you're innocent. You're guiltless. You have been acquitted. Your sins have been absolved. Oh, Lord. You know what justification is? Justification is when a guilty person is acquitted of their sins. Now, how many of us are guilty of committing sin? Can I get a show of hands? Can I get a show of hands? We have some folk here who we need to expand the Trinity because they have never sinned. Justification is when a guilty person is acquitted of their sin. They go free with no record. Man. No one can ever accuse them again of the sin because Jesus has declared them righteous. You and I, just like the Corinthian believers, have been acquitted of our sins and declared just and righteous by the Most High God. But I got to let you know that our acquittal, our justification, our being declared righteous wasn't cheap. It came at a great price. You and I are now justified, declared righteous, because a ransom was paid. Lord, have mercy. The Apostle Paul makes this clear in his letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. Paul writes, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet or still sinners, Christ died for us. And since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Jesus? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through the life of Christ? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Listen, the reason why you and I were justified is because Christ died for our sins. A price was paid that you and I could never repay. We have been recipients of God's grace and God's mercy shown through the giving of his son Jesus Christ's life for ours. I'm so glad that it didn't matter to God that you and I didn't deserve his forgiveness. It didn't matter to Jesus that you and I could not repay him for his sacrifice. He loved us so much that he went to Calvary's cross and died on the cross that we might be washed, sanctified, and justified. I'm glad that Paul told the Corinthians that you are not what you were. And I can tell you today, I want you to know that God is not through with you yet. You're in a transition. You are transitioning to be all that God would have you to be. You are transitioning to holiness, to righteousness, to being a light bearer. And so, I tell you, you ought to give God some praise in this house because he washed you, he sanctified you, and he justified you. We are not what we were. But we're not perfect. We're not perfect. Not now. None of us is perfect. But we have been perfectly forgiven. And when Jesus sees me and sees you, he says, declared righteous. Go ahead, keep on talking about me. Talk about me. Say what you want to say about me. Do what you want to do. But as long as I know that in the eyes of the Christ, that I am righteous in his sight, ain't nothing that you can do to me to take away the righteousness of Christ that has been applied to my life. Come on, stand to your feet, stand to your feet, stand to your feet all over the church. I just want to encourage y'all to remember that you are not what you were. You're not perfect, but as far as God is concerned, you are a new creature.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay Varina, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us. And be blessed.